Well, I got three things for you this morning, and it's going to involve every person in this room today, not only married people, but single people, just people in general, because we all need to hear what's going to be said. If I would have heard this many, many years ago, I think there would have been a lot of things changed in my life. Maybe not so instantly, but at least it would have given me something to hang my hat on, because I need a hat sometimes, because I'm bald-headed. But it would have been something that would have helped me in my life if I would have had some teaching like this years ago. So I'm going to give it to you today. Amen? Are you ready to receive it? Did you come expecting a miracle? Did you come in these doors expecting God to do something different with you than you just did? Just come in here and La Shema, here I am. God, just knock it to me, you know. Well, He's not going to do that. You're going to have to open up your heart and say, God, I want what You got today for me. Amen? So I'm going to try my best to give it to you. We're going to be talking about three different families. I like these logos. Y'all saw those that came up there? Said love, the little words that came. Before you saw me, you saw that. You remember that part? But there's three families that we're going to be talking about today. And I brought my little, let's see if this thing works. It works over here, don't work over there. Okay. But we're going to be talking about these three families. And I want you to put yourself, because you are, by the way, one of these families right here. Now, I know that this is just three, but there's variations. They may go from A to Z. But somewhere along the way, every one of us started in something like this right here. But my goal today is to get you to be an A family. Not a B family, not a C family, but an A family. So just get that starting to marinate in your brain while we're going through here. And I'm going to start telling what an A family is, a B family, and a C family is. Because all of us fit into this category somewhere. Before we start, let's pray. Father in heaven, but today, Lord God, before I even start this, Lord, I need to hear from You. I humble myself in Your sight, Lord God, and I need to be Your oracle, Lord God, to speak forth. Lord, use me as a vessel of honor for You today, that it would touch the hearts of every person in here. Lord, that You would open up our spiritual eyes and ears and let us hear what You're saying to us. And let us take it, Lord God, and impregnate that within our spirit, man, Lord, that we can grow by it and be the people that You've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to talk about family number one, or A, today. To start with, this is a functional family. This is a family that operates, that you would be pleased to be around this family. One of the things that they do, they have a scriptural in order in this family. Probably the daddy is saved, the mom is saved, the kids are saved, and spiritually they are doing what they need to do as Christian people. They stand for what God stands for. They do what God says to do. And there's things that work in this family that is great. You'll see it and you'll love it when you get around these kind of people. One of the things is the father is the spiritual leader. He takes that authority that God gave him. Nobody else gave it to him. God gave him that. How many men in here know that you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your home? If you don't know that, hopefully you're going to grab onto it today, because you are, not your wife and not your children. You are. You're the ones going to be held responsible for it one day. And God anointed and appointed this man to be the spiritual leader of his family. This man knows it, his wife knows it, and his children know it. And they all fall in line to do exactly what's supposed to be done. There's a good order. I learned a long time ago, if God says, if I want it red, white, and blue, then just work on it. Don't try to insert yellow, green, and purple in it. Just do red, white, and blue, what he says to do. The scripture says, husbands, love your wives. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. And the man is supposed to be submitted to the Lord, and the wife is submitted to the husband, and the children are submitted to both of them until they become of age, just like these little children that we dedicated this morning. One day they're going to have to stand and say, it's time for me to take on the authority that God's given me. And they're just starting today. But this man has already got that a spiritual authority. He's the spiritual leader in this family. Another thing it does, his wife is submitted to her in everything. She is submitted, not under his foot, not under a floor mat, but under his authority. She likes it. Most women that I know want to be under the husband's authority. They desire to be there. They want that security. That's some of the things that makes a woman feel really safe. I learned a long time ago, because we didn't have a lot of money to go buy a lot of jewelry, but I found out one thing. If I can keep a house, a roof over our head, if I can get a car that'll make it where we need to go, and we got a little money in the bank, my wife feels very secure in that situation. She don't care for about a lot of diamond rings and a lot of lustrous things. She don't really care about it. She just wants to feel comfortable under the authority that she's under. Amen? And that's a good place to be. And you can be content in that situation. The wife is submitted to the husband, also knowing that she is a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Her direction and my direction most of the times are together, because we sit down, we talk about it, we pray about it, and we say, okay, let's go in this direction. But I honor her opinion about what we do as a family. But ultimately, knowing that I'm going to be responsible for it, no matter if it works or if it don't work. And I'm man enough to take that responsibility, because she gave it to me and God told me to do it. Amen? So we got to understand that part of it. Both of them are teaching and raising the children in the ways of the Lord. Both of them. The father and the mother. These are the people that will have a family devotion at home. They'll get their kids to come and they'll sit down and they'll pray and they'll talk. They'll read stories to them and let the kids respond back to make sure that they're doing what they need to do. Because what we're doing is teaching our children what to do and how to do it. These are the families that will do that. Both of them do that. Not just the wife, both of them do it. Another thing, the children are following their leadership of the family and the Lord. The children are beginning to. I loved it when my kids began to take on that leadership that God was giving them. I was responsible for teaching them and showing them. And I said, okay, you got that. You're going to start walking in that. And they do. And you watch them walk in it. Now, some of them failed at it miserably. But I'm trying. I tried to do everything I could to get them to that spot, because you're dealing with different people's wills. How many of you know that everybody's got a different will? And it's hard to keep it all hurdled together. But if we make the best effort to do what we got to do, God will make the best effort to keep it together if we'll do our part. But we got to do our part. Another thing is that family has respect. Not only for one another, but they respect the leadership of the church. They respect the government. They respect the Lord in all things. They have a reverence about them that they know, and they need to respect everybody around that situation, because that's been taught to them and they've learned it, and now they're beginning to use those things. Another thing is that family has peace in it. Peace. And it has joy and it has love. Have you ever just gone in a house sometimes and you walk in there and it's like, whew, this is a real peaceful place. This is really cool to be here, because it's just like, it's like a gentle spirit just blowing through. And I like this. This is peaceful right here. Well, some houses you go in is not like that. You don't feel that. You feel a lot of stress and you feel a lot of bitterness and hatred and different things, spirits that go out in those homes. But this house, you feel all the good attributes that should be there. Peace and joy and love. Another thing is their concern for other people. It's not about them. It's about other people. What can I do to help you? That type mentality that goes, because they're a spiritual church. They're doing, or not church, but church. They are a church. They're a spiritual family to do what God wants them to do. So therefore, they're going to be concerned about other people. Is that not the second commandment that we're supposed to do? Is love thy neighbor as thyself? And those people catch on to that, and they do that, because it's not about them. It's about what can I do to other people. But you know what? Every time I find somebody that's concerned about other people, that person's needs are always met. And they're always full, and they're always happy about whatever God's doing, because they've followed suit with what God told them to do. Amen? Another thing is they're good stewards. You know, I was picking at the couple a while ago about, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And they will, and I know they will, but they're going to be good stewards of what God's blessed them with. Aren't you glad that God has given us things that we can be good stewards of? I thank God. I mean, I try to take care of my house. I take care of my car, take care of my wife. I take care of my kids. I cut the grass when it needs to go. I wash, take a bath. I do everything God gave me. I try to be a good steward of it. The money that he gives me, I'm a good steward. I try to put it in the right place. That's what an A family does, because they realize it don't belong to them. It belongs to God. And he's loaned it to us to be a good steward of everything that he's given us. Amen? Another thing is, a family like that, they know that a marriage is more than just a piece of paper that can be ripped up or burned and thrown away. They have a covenant with one another. They realize that they have a blood covenant with that person. And they're going to stay with that person forever. And they're going to do what God wants them to do, because that is a blood covenant. And I would share what a blood covenant was. We've got too many young people in here, and I'm not going to do it. But I will tell you this, that there's blood that passes back and forth between men and women. And to me, that tells me that they have a blood covenant in what they're doing. Amen? And they know that, and that is what keeps them together. That's what's kept Janice and I together for 52 years, because we didn't have just a piece of paper that I tried to tear up one time, not proud of it, but I wasn't married 2 weeks, and it's like, this ain't for me. I'm out of here. And it didn't work that way either. But I settled down and decided, if I'm going to be an A family, I'm going to have to do what God says to do. Amen? And we've stuck it out because it's a blood covenant. Now, have we wanted to leave one another every now and then? Oh, yeah. I mean, murder sometimes has passed through the portals of our house, you know. I'll take you out, woman. It's like, let's get this thing together. Now, I'm joking about that. But there's bitterness sometimes and words that get fired up things. Y'all do understand that, don't you? Don't sit there and look at me like you poor little old preacher. You know, he just needs to get it together. I'm a human being just like you are. I got pains and I got emotions too. Amen? Okay, another thing is, they know that they're under authority. Every person in that A family knows that they're under authority. They will operate in that way. The children know that mom says something, they need to do it. They don't play mom and dad against one another. They know that there's an authority, and the mom and dad stay on the same authority word, and they stick together no matter what the kids say, and they follow suit till they get it done. Amen? We need to know that, because those children are going to go get a job sometime along the way, and they need to be under somebody else's authority. But if they don't learn it at home, they're not going to learn it on the street. I can promise you that. Amen? So that's an A family right there. Let me get my little bullet out here. Let me show you. Can you see that family right there? That's what we're talking about. Now we're going to go to this family over here. And what is it? It's called a dysfunctional family. And I'm going to show you why it's dysfunctional. First thing is, the mother is in control. She's taken the role of the leader. She's had to, because the father, by and large, in that family is a couch potato. He probably works. He probably has a good job. It pays good money. But all he does is goes and makes the money, sits on the couch, watches the TV. You know, he's got probably the strongest thumb in the South working that remote. But he don't do nothing else. That's all he does. Drink coffee, honey, get this, honey, get that. Sitting there pumping the button and doing what he does, because he's not taking the authority that he needs to do. He don't even have a clue what God's authority is. Sometimes he don't even know God in a family. And most of the time, they don't know God in a family. But the mother takes on the whole role of it. I shared this morning about the first church where I got saved. I went there, and every person in the church was a woman. And I asked the pastor, I said, where's all the men at? He said, well, they'll be here on Sunday sometimes. But the women pretty well do the whole church. And it's like, to me, as a very young Christian, when I first got saved, it's like there's something really wrong with this picture. The men should be here. According to what my Bible says, the men are supposed to be here. If anybody misses, the woman ought to miss. But the man ought to be here to do what he's doing. Amen? But that's what the woman gets pushed into. She don't really want that role. She just gets pushed into it because somebody's got to take some kind of authority. So she just took it on herself to do this, to run the family, when the man's supposed to run the family. But nevertheless, the mother, she shops. She does all the shopping. She pays all the bills. She pretty well raises the kids. The father's never a part of any of that thing. He may catch a game once in a while or do something with them, but by and large, his life is not involved in their lives like the mom. I mean, how many times you ever turn the TV on and you see a sports person do something, and does he turn around and say, thank you, Dad? Not very often. What do they do? Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. because you can almost tell that that person was raised in a B family, because the mom is the one that pushed him on and made him get a purpose and a reason to do what he was doing. And that happened so many times, and you can imagine. When mom speaks, everybody listens. I mean, when mom cracks the whip, somebody better snap to attention, because there's fixing to be problems at home. There's fixing to be some issues that's going to be solved, because she has had to do that to keep this whole thing going and keep it in order the best she could to get it to happen. She usually takes on the spiritual leadership, if any. If it's there, she's probably the only one to do it. And if they have sons, whichever one of these have a boy and a girl, that son is getting a very warped mindset about spirituality, because his mom is doing all the work and his dad is doing absolutely nothing. Another thing she does, she can't handle it later on. It becomes too hard for her to handle the whole thing, because she's doing it all. The father's doing nothing but sitting on the couch potato, doing what he's doing. The mom is out there doing everything, beating the bushes, trying to keep this role, keep that fixed, do this, do that. And after a while, she just becomes burned out, and she's tired, and she's aggravated, and she don't like what's going on, because she is not in the position that God really intended her to be. She was supposed to be under the man of the house. All the men say, ouch. All the women say, amen. Amen. Very little peace in these homes. There's a lot of confusion going on, but there's very little peace. You go in that house and you can sense there's something wrong here. Something is out of order. I know that there's not peace, there's not joy, there's no love here. I don't see anybody respecting someone else or telling them you did a good job or whatever. None of that's in that home. You don't see that because they don't have time for it. They're always arguing over money. Always. Because the mom has tried to pinch every penny. This guy, he's making money. He knows, hey, I made this much money. This ought to cover everything for a long time. She's out there buying shoes and clothes and underwear and buying food and trying to get things situated, penny pinching to move it here, there, and yonder. And he comes up and he says, I need so-and-so. And she said, well, we don't have the money. Well, there becomes World War II. I make the money in this house. What are you doing with that money? You spent that money. Not knowing that it was him all the time that needs to be in order with that. Ouch. She's in control? Just ask her. She'll tell you. Most of the time, if you sit down with a woman out of a B family, you ask her, are you in control? Oh, yes. You better believe I am. Because when I say something, somebody better move. That's her attitude, because that's a mode of survival for her. What a horrible place to be in. Amen? All right, now we're going to look at number three over here, totally dysfunctional. That's the C family. They have a little boy and a little girl. Now listen to this family. Everybody is in control and nobody is really in control. Everybody's the boss there. If you don't believe it, you ask one of them. I run this family. And I've seen it where little Johnny told everybody what to do. If little Johnny had something to do, the whole family went to where little Johnny was going to go. Another thing is, they're doing their own thing, and nobody gets respect. Nobody. The biggest thing here is discord and anger, because if they don't get their way, they're going to get discord, and they're going to be angry about it, because they didn't get their way. That was my weekend to go do that. I should have got that, and it was mine, and you shouldn't have put your hands on it. And those are the kind of things that pop out of those kind of families. Nothing gets done, always blaming one another. If you wouldn't have done that, this wouldn't have happened. And if you wouldn't have done it, that wouldn't have happened. And that's the way they go. You're just like your mother. You're just like your daddy. Those kind of things come out like darts to hurt and bring discord in a family. And we got to come to that place to where we don't want that. Amen? Another thing is, they're self-centered. The whole family is self-centered. It's mine, everything. It's all about me. It's not about you, it's about me. Whatever I want, I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get it the best way I can. You might be my brother, my sister, my mom, dad, but I don't care. I am going to get my way, and nobody is going to stop me from that. Another thing is, they're not good stewards of one another's nor God's things, because they've never looked at it as being a steward. They've looked at it as being mine. That's yours. This is mine. God, you do what you're going to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do with mine. And most of these people, by the way, don't even have any money. They're always broke. They're the kinds that have to get loan upon loan upon loan because they don't know how to handle money, so they don't know how to spend money. Or if they do, they go buy some of the biggest things that's way out of price range for their economy that they're living in, and they back themselves in a hole deeper and deeper and deeper all the time. Another thing is they have no respect, not only for one another, but for the things of God. No respect whatsoever. Another thing is, they don't have no purpose. Most of these people don't know where they're going or what's going on in their life. They have no direction. They have no unction to get up and to go do anything other than just what I can get my little fingers on right now to make me happy for this moment. That's all I'm looking for. They've never looked out on the horizon to see anything really good and want to go and have a purpose to get that way. They're not driven in that direction at all. It's just not even in part of their lives. Another one is they have no goals. They can't set a goal. When I was going to the Cadillac place to do a Bible study, I asked some of the guys that was there, and I know they have a turnover sometimes with some of the salesmen, but I was asking them one time, I said, what kind of goals do you have? What are you going to do? Do you plan on working at this dealership for the rest of your life? You have a goal for making money? You have a dollar figure out there? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And most of those guys in there begin to drop their head and just look down. And it's like, pay attention to what I'm telling you. Look up here. I said, you need to have a goal. If you're going to stay here, you can be an honest car salesman. Amen? They do have honest car salesmen. I know some, and they're honest, believe it or not. They have some that are not, but you can't throw out all of them because of a few. But some of them got a vision for it, and they said, yeah, if this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to be a good one at it. I was a mechanic, and I didn't do, I had a goal to set, and I had a certain amount of money that I wanted to make every month, and I watched that thing grow and grow and grow, but I had to set a goal for it to start with to get where I was going to go. And one of the things was, I'm going to be an honest mechanic. I'm not going to cheat anybody out of anything. If they come in there, if I can't help them, I'll give it to them. But I'll never take it from them. And God blessed me by doing that because I had a purpose and I had a goal set forth to do what I was going to do. Now, I want to tell you, you see these families right now, most of you are probably either glad or you're mad because you come out of one of them, honey. Every one of us came out of one of these families. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll be the first one to tell you that I came out of a C family. I was totally dysfunctional. That's why I left home when I was a very young age. That's why I lived around on the streets and did what I wanted to do because I was self-centered and I was not under anybody's authority and I was going to do what I wanted to do and nobody was going to tell me what to do because I am my own person. Janice came out of a C family. B family. I came out of a C. She came out of a B. And her mom, basically, her daddy was a great man. He farmed. He milked cows every day. He had gardens. He did everything that a farmer does. He was the hardest working man I ever saw in my life. Even at 89 years old, he was still plowing with a mule that was blind. And that's a feat in itself. But he plowed a big garden. But he would work hard every day. But when he got through, he came in, sat at the table, at the couch, and got the remote. Well, they didn't have a remote back then when we first got married. She was the remote until I came in the family. And he said, change that station, will you? Of course, they only had three stations. You knew you didn't have to get up but three times. Thank God they didn't have 300 stations like they do now. But nevertheless, he was a hard-working man. But her mother pretty well ran the house. She's the one that bought the groceries, raised the kids, brought them to church, did everything that she could do as a Christian woman to try to keep the thing together all of those years. Well, guess what? I married her. Now, you look at the dots up there. I know I got some dots written over here from an A family to a B family. But me and Janice came out of a B family to a C family. And I'm a boy, and she's a girl. Now, you can imagine the problems that we had when we first got married because we didn't know this. I wish somebody would explain this to me a long time ago. I said, well, I'm going to just go find me a woman, and I'm done, you know. But it don't work that way either, because none of us knew that. But I'll tell you what, you know it now, so you'll be very careful who you're going to marry. All the young people said amen. I don't want no C woman in my life. I don't want no B woman in my life. Amen. I want an A woman. Now, another thing is, look at this over here, functional and dysfunctional. Can you imagine what it would be when this young girl marries a B boy and they get married? And you'll notice that circle at the bottom of it right there, the middle of it, it has nothing written in it right there. You see that? Nothing. You know why? Because that's going to be another family one day. Another family. A A family, a B family, or a C family. And somebody's going to have to make a choice out of those two kids that get together right there. What are we going to do with our family? What do we want? How we want to operate in our family? Are we going to be, the little girl says, well, you know what? I've been used to being pampered by my daddy because I was his little girl. He always took care of me. I always felt secure with my daddy around. He always provided everything that I did. And I can remember him setting me down and reading a Bible story to me at night and putting me to sleep. And I was so encouraged. And he raised me, taught me how to be pure, taught me how to be a holy young girl and do all of these things that I'm supposed to do to be in an A family. And then this little boy comes along out of a dysfunctional family and marries her. He never was taught any of that. He watched his mom do what she was going to do. His mom pretty well ran the house because she told him all the time, I'm the boss here. If you don't like working here, go get you another job. If you don't like what I'm saying, then get out of here. That's all he's ever heard all of his life. Now, he's got this little girl that was raised the right way, and then problems begin to pop up. And I've been here for a long time. And I've learned through counseling people and different situations that go on, it takes just about 5 years for a couple to get married, and because they don't know where they came from. They get married, and they're so in love. Everything is love this, love that. It's a kissy, kissy blow and all the things that go on there, and I can't wait to get home to her or him, and it's just love all the time. And about 5 years come along, and it's like, I can't stand going back to that house. That woman is driving me crazy, or that man's driving me crazy. And then problems begin to happen. Because what happened is both of them brought baggage into a family, but they never opened them until 5 years. And all at once, they open those bags, and it's like, oh my gosh, what have I married? Where did that come from? Why did you say that? Why did you do that? That's just like your mother did. That's just like your father did. And now we got bickering going on in a family until they can sit down and I can show them my little chart and let them see where they came from and say, okay, let's work on it. Because you see, even if you're here today and you're married, you want to be an A family. Amen? How many of you want to be an A family? Well, a few of you. A few of you, y'all get saved. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. No, you do. You do want to be an A family, every one of us. Another thing is, if you're here and you're single, you want to be an A family. Because it affects your witness if you're not an A family. Because you do need to be under authority of even a secular boss that may be there. He needs to see what's inside of you and what kind of life and characteristics you have in your life to lead that person to the Lord. He will look at that family situation and he'll understand that better. But you see these kind of families right here, and you put this little girl and this little boy together, and they need to come to that place to become a family of their own, a family to where they have a choice that they can make. We're going to serve God, and we're going to be an A family, or we're going to be a B family, or worse than that, we could be a C family. But we need God's help to help us to be what God wants us to be. And I'm positive that God wants us to be an A family. I mean, everything in the Scripture backs it. I didn't bring out one Scripture today, but I'm going to tell you what. You read the Scripture and it all leads to this, that we would live peaceably, holy, godly lives, that would love one another and love our family and do the things that God. Bring up our children in the ways of God. It all leads to an A family. But now you think about if you go over here and you get two of these people out of a C family right there and you join them together. Now, how long do you think that marriage is going to last? And by the way, if you look at statistics today, you'll probably see where most people came out of a C family. That's why they don't last but 6 months, a year, 2 years, and they're done because they had a contract and they're selfish and they wanted to do it their way and not the spouse's way. How many of you know to have a happy marriage, it's not two people putting 50% in each. It's two people putting 100% together and saying, let's make it work. It will work if we will do it. With God's help, we can make this thing happen. Amen? And you'll see God do some great and mighty things once you start doing that. But we all got to come to the realization and figure out, where did we come from? Why do we act like we do? Because most of the things that we do comes by generational curses. It comes by the things that we were taught as kids, and we have to break out of that mold. I'm 71 years old right now, and I'm still breaking out of some molds. Every now and then, I have to crack the egg a little bit and get another arm out and come out. Feels like a chicken in an egg. You ever see that? You know, they were selling chickens the other day at Tractor, at the, what is that, Tractor Place? Tractor Supply. I was in there, and they was getting their new little bitties in, and I was sitting there looking in that box at them, you know, and I was going, and every now and then you'd see an egg move, you know, and then every now and then you'd see a beak pop out of it. Then you'd see a toe come out of it, and then another toe. First thing you know, bah! You know, you got a little skinny, ugly chicken sitting there, you know, squawking, looking for, I'm in the world. Yeah, you're going to get eaten, too, as soon as you start walking. But we're the same way. Every one of us, we're still breaking out of eggs everywhere we go because we haven't arrived, amen? But we're working towards that. I still hadn't made it to a functional family. Living with one woman for 52 years, I'm still headed that way, amen? And so are you. But we got to be honest with ourselves. We got to come to the place and say, enough is enough. I'm going to start doing what God wants me to do, amen? And we got to let these kids at the bottom down here go. There's another thing the scripture says about leaving and cleaving. And that literally means when your kids get married, when they get born, let me put it this way. When they're born, you got to come in there and cut the cord one day. I shared with the first group, of course they wasn't close to dinner time, but I'm not going to share it with you. But there's a cutting of the cord right there when your children are small. I didn't get to do that. My kids, I think they were in a whole other building than I was when Janice had kids back then. It was like, you go. I brought her in there, and it's like, here she is. After 12 hours of waiting, here she is. And they said, okay, you go. You know, and it's like, okay, where'd I go? You know, I finally found my way around to the hospital at the Baton Rouge General on the 6th floor. And I don't even know what that room was, but they had chairs in there. And I went to sleep in one of them with a bar across the middle because you couldn't lay down in two of them. I mean, in one, you had to get in two. So I contorted myself and got slipped under that bar, that armrest. And I'm laying there waiting, and finally somebody come in and said, your wife's having a baby. The baby's due, coming in. And I'm half asleep, and I jump up, and I'm trying to get out of the chair, and it's like, they got me tied down. I don't even know where I'm at now. I'm tired, and I finally got up and ran down there, and it's like, well, where is she? Everywhere I went, I ended up in a hallway with a door shut. And I'm saying all that because I didn't get the privilege of going and cutting the cord on my kids when they were born. But now you can go in there and deliver your children if you want to. I'm not doing that. I'm not. I will stay in a proximity that's close. But not. I'm not going to have this. I might go in there and do this with the scissors, you know. I'm joking. I would be glad to do that. I'd be honored to do that. But nevertheless, we got to cut cords all along the way. That's just the beginning of it. When they start walking, there's another cord. When they start dating, that's another cord. When you put them off at school, that's another cord. In fact, I should have put that one first because they don't date before they go to school. But I've sat here and watched kids be brought to school in the kindergarten, and the kids just go right on in the class, and the parents is all in the parking lot crying, you know, travailing, praying. They want to come have a prayer meeting. Every year they do that. I just thought about that. Every year when school starts, we got at least 5 or 6 moms that want to come in here and pray. And they're all crying, and it's like, oh, my gosh, what happened? Y'all intercede? Our kids started the school today, and it's like, cut the cord. Leave them alone. They're going to be all right. We got good teachers back there. Amen? But when they come along and they get married, and you got to cut the cord, and you got to leave them alone. When they get married, there's a consummation that happens, and they become one. And that tells me what the scripture says is let them leave and cleave. Don't bug them anymore. You're not the parent anymore. If they want some wisdom out of you, give it to them. But don't get involved in their affairs. Amen? I'll never forget, I brought Janice home after 2 weeks we was married. I carried her back to her mama's. I said, this ain't for me. I ain't doing this. And she looked square at me. You'd have had to know her mom. She looked square at me. She said, you took her, you keep her. Been 52 years ago, I still never forgot that. That thing rings in my ear once in a while. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? But there comes a place where we all got to make decisions. Do we want to be what God wants us to be? Or do we want to flounder around where we used to be? And I'm under the persuasion, I want to be everything that God's got for me. I want to be the man that God's called to be. I want to be the husband that God's called. I want to be the pastor that God's called. I want to do what God says to do. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you what, I may not be at an A, but I'm going in that direction. I get stopped every now and then, but I'm still moving in that direction. And that's the key thing is don't stop. When you stop, you start dying. But when you keep going, you're going to live. Amen? And I want you to know, if you're here today, Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life. You're worse off than a sea because you're going to be dysfunctional in everything that you do. You'll never know how to submit to a boss. You'll never be conscious about what you're going to be doing. You'll never have a purpose and you'll never have a goal for your life until Jesus Christ comes in and He will give you all of those things, every one of them. And if you're here and you don't have Jesus Christ being the Lord of your family and telling you that everything's going to be all right, I'm going to lead you, I'm going to guide you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to prosper you in all of your life, you're not there. You need to say, yes, Lord, I need that. I want us all to stand, if you would. If you want Jesus Christ in your life today, I want you to just, with every eye shut, I just want you to lift your hands all over the building. Anybody here? You want Him to be the Lord of your life? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay? And if you're here and Jesus is not the Lord of your family and you want Him to be, you know where you've been. You're either a B family or a C family. I want you to lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you too. You want to be an A family. You want God to be the Lord of your family in every part of it, to prosper you, to give you peace, to give you understanding, to bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now let's all pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to You, and I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that You're the Savior. I know that You came and died on a cross for my sins. And I ask You right now to forgive me of every sin in my life. I repent of them. I turn away from them. And I turn to You. And I ask You to come and dwell in my heart. Make me Your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. And these that need families, Lord, I pray for each and every family in here, Lord God, that needs You to be the Lord of their life. Lord, we don't want to be B people. We don't want to be C people, Lord God, but we want to be A people. Lord, we want to be the people that You've called us to be, Lord God, to bring forth the gospel, Lord God, with peace and joy. When people look at us, that they'll see You in our lives. They won't see an A, but they'll see a J. And Lord, we ask that You'd come and fill us, Lord God, fresh with Your Holy Spirit. Use us in the days to come and let us be all that You've called us to be. And we praise You and we give You all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.